Verlede week het ek gepraat oor fulfilling our apostolic mandate, en ek wil net die definisie lees. The concept apostolic is derived from the Greek term apostolos and refers to someone who is sent as a messenger or an ambassador on behalf of someone else. The church is an extension of God's redemptive work through Jesus Christ and has been given an apostolic mandate to go to the ends of the earth as his representatives. Jy moet julle my vergewe, ek gaan 'n oorskakel Engels toe. So God wants the church to go because God sees the church as an apostolic body that is always on the move to see where God is moving. That's God's heart. God has a heart for the nations. God has a heart for cultures. God has a heart to see the whole world change. And because he has that heart, we strongly believe in that we wanting to be a church that goes where the Holy Spirit already is moving. And so my challenge to each and every one of us here in church is that you should at least try once or twice in your life to go. Set time aside, even if it's in your leave, to go. To serve, to bless, to pray. Preferably to a third world country first. Like Pakistan or India. Just to go. Just to serve and to see what God is doing in other nations. Because it really helps us to see what God is doing. And what's been blessing me over the years is the fact that if God does something here, he also does it in India. He also does it in China. We usually think when God speaks to us, he speaks to us alone. It's the same Holy Spirit that speaks right across the world. And that is how God works. And so it's very difficult for us to meet our Chinese brothers and then we can't pray with them the Our Father, but God says, your brothers. That's why you can pray the Our Father. It's not the My Father. It's not South Africa's Father. And if you were the Jews, it weren't the Jewish Father, because God's heart from the beginning when he spoke to Abram as, Abram, I want you to be a blessing to the nations. It's not a Jewish thing. And so sometimes we take the gospel and we make the gospel what it's not. And so this morning I want us to look at another concept of being apostolic. And the concept that I want us to look at is being commissioned. What does it mean being commissioned? And we're going to commission the mission teams after the sermon. We're going to call them forth. We're going to break bread and we're going to send them. Let's read Luke chapter 10 verse 1 to 4. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. I think when we look at that word sent, apostolos, what does it mean being sent? Just a quick definition. Commissioned means an act of entrusting or giving authority to someone else so that a specific task may be fulfilled. Commissioning can happen on two levels. The one is short-term, long-term missions and assigned tasks. I'll explain that now. And then in terms of your calling. So like this morning, we are talking about people being sent on a short-term mission. Sometimes when you're like Paul and Heather, they were a couple here in our church, they moved to PE. That's a long-term mission. We commissioned them. They left. They were sent. But then also God can send you in terms of your calling. If you're Jeremiah, then God says, I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. God has called me into the fivefold ministry as a leader of a church. God can call you as a doctor. God can call you as a teacher to go to a nation or to a place Well, God can call you to Worcester also. So not all of us will travel the world. But all of us must be able to go. And the reason why I'm saying that, it's just the fact that we need to get out of our comfort zones. We need to go to another nation or other people and just see what God's doing there. Afrikaans sê het mooi, ons raak so verknog oor ons hier en ons vriende hier. En sal het nie lekker wees om Chinese vriende en Australiese vriende en West-Indier as vriende te het. Dit is mos nou lekker. Maar nou dink ons altyd, net as ons hier en ek en my braaivleis maaikies en ons koffiekie en ek en my vroukie en my kinderkies. En daar is 'n hele wêreld daar buite wat die evangelie moet hoor. And I'm really putting that before you as a church. Jonah preached 3 days in Nineveh. We're doing 3 nations in 9 days. The rate at which we can preach the gospel to people is really astounding. And so God commissioned us because he has given us the authority. And what I want us to look at now is the elements of commissioning. I don't know if you noticed in the scripture, but the scripture said, after these things, God appointed. Appointment has to do with the fact that you are available and assignable to do a job. In other words, if you go for an interview, if you cannot show the boss of any working environment that you are available and you are assignable, they will not appoint you. Hulle gaan jou nie aanstel nie. Aanstel is 'n mooi Afrikaanse woord. You must show people, look, I'm willing to do what I've been called to do. And that is what Jesus did with the disciples. Jesus appointed the disciples because he could see in their eyes and he could see within their hearts that they are available to preach the gospel. Available to do what he has asked them to do, but also assignable. Assignable means you say, God, here I am, I'm available, but send me, I'm assignable. And the reason why we do commissioning and we start with appointment, because so many missionaries has left to do missions, but they've never been commissioned, they've never been sent. They decided, look, I think it's a good thing we must be missionaries in Zimbabwe, and then they get hurt and offended. And that's not God's heart that people would get hurt and offended. People need to be sent. We don't climb through the windows like I did. In my mom's home, you climb through the window and then she doesn't know you left to go to the nightclub. And then you come back at 3 o'clock. And then you sleep again. We don't do that. Ons doen nie skelm nie. Sluip in by die agterdeur en sluip uit by die voordeur. En niemand, we don't do that. We don't do missions like that. We appoint people because they're available and assignable, and then we send them, we commission them. We're excited about them because it's important. And it's a beautiful thing, appointment. The second thing that we read in that scripture is teamwork. Jesus appointed them and he sent them out two by two. It's about being a unit. It's about being a unit. And it's understanding authority and submission. In other words, in that unit, there's a leader. In that unit, there's somebody that gives command. It's that Abrahamic family unit which speaks of military precision. I don't know if you noticed that Jesus said, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Because when Jesus sends us, it's not a joke. There's a seriousness in understanding that we do go two by two. And it's important that when God sends us, we must understand that I have a function to fulfill. It's all part of the bigger picture. I'm the hand on this mission, you're the foot on this mission, you're the nose on this mission, and so God will send us out two by two. Now, if you read the previous chapter, Jesus sends out the 12. Here, Jesus sends out the 72. And then in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus sends out the disciples, now go preach. Why? Because God loves sending sons as a team. It's a perpetuation of what he did. He says, as the Father sent me, God, I'll send them. Sons being sent. Isn't it glorious to be able to go and preach the gospel to people and just see what God will do? But then, there's also training. It's about being teachable. If you read that chapter, Jesus says, look here, I'm sending you as lambs among wolves. Then Jesus says, do not take a bag. Do not take extra sandals. Find a man of peace. Jesus is training them. So everybody that's being commissioned must be trained. It's biblical to do training. Because training has to do with being teachable. You know how many people have I met when we talk about doing missions training, then they always tell me, no, but I did missions training at that place. And then I say, but it's not about that place. It's about what we have to discuss here. We need to discuss the finances. We need to discuss who does what. We need to discuss why is it important that you're there. We need to discuss why is it important that we pray. What is God saying to us as a team? Come on, let's train each other. You can't go if you've never been trained. And it speaks about teachability. Why is it important to be teachable when you send? Because if you're teachable, if I'm teachable, I'm willing to receive. And if I'm willing to receive, then it will be much easier to give. Because you can only give what you have received. You can give nothing else. Everything else that you give away that you have not received, you either read it in a book or you heard somebody else said it. But that's not something that you can give away. It's knowledge. What I'm talking about now is the fact that you can impart life on life. Life-changing wisdom. That's impartation, not knowledge. So the teachability has the ability to receive and the ability to give. Then there's about the support. Oh, I love the support. Could you go back to the scripture again? I just want the people to see. After this, the Lord appointed. You see, there's the word appointed. 72 others. He sent them, apostolos, two by two. Now, what's God's support? He does the training, but he says to every town and place where he was about to go. Jesus does follow up. Wherever you're going to go, prayer tour guys, he's going to go there. He's going to follow it up by the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? When you go, when you have that mindset to go, you have the secured knowledge and ability to say, God, I know that your presence is with me. Because Christ said so. If you go, I'll be with you. It may not feel like it. It may not sound like it, especially if you're in a nation like India or you're in a nation like Pakistan or you're in Zimbabwe. But God says, I'll be with you there with all the wheelbarrows filled with money to buy bread. I'll be there. And it's amazing. So the support is important for the guys that's going on the trip. In other words, we must support, if we go on the trip, we must support one another to grow. And to all the guys going on missions, I want to say this up front. You cover each other's weaknesses and you celebrate each other's strengths. Can I get an amen? And when you're on missions, you do not kick somebody that's already lying on the ground. You help them up. Because that's important. That's how Jesus does it. And so the Apostle Paul says, I boast in my weaknesses because God covers my weaknesses through his grace. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, my grace is sufficient for you. And so if you see a weakness in somebody, cover it. Talk to them. If you see somebody on the missions, there's a tendency to forget, remind them. But don't wait until they've forgotten and then laugh about it. You know, you make fun of the person. We cover each other's. You know, being forgetful is not a sin. Did you know that? It's a weakness. And in church, we have this bad habit of tearing each other's heads off for weaknesses. But we don't talk about sin. We'll rather cover up the sin and make jokes about the weaknesses. And so when you go, guys, I want you to cover each other's weaknesses. You must support one another and grow. And grow in which areas? Number one, you grow, you make sure that your brother grows in relationship with God. In other words, you pray for your brother because you're your brother, your sister's keeper. You pray for them. God, I pray that Elmery will grow in a relationship with you. God, reveal yourself to her. God, give Elmery the ability. I know this has been Elmery's desire. Give her the ability, God, to flow in words of wisdom. God, I know it's been Cindy's desire to lay hands on people so that they can get it. You pray for people like that. You intercede for them. Father, please open up the doors for Jan so that he can have all the finances for this mission trip. And over and above, enough pocket money. God, and I pray that you will bless David in this sense, that he will buy a beautiful gift for his wife in Germany. Now, I knew you were going to laugh. But you know what? We don't pray for each other like that. Jere bless me and for mine and mine and ja mine. And Jere, as hy mooi kyk, dan wil ek mine. Maar Jere, ek sê vir u mine. Jere, in my naam. Is onwil. Want het gaan oor my, Jere. En Jere, kan ek net vir u sê iets van myself? Ek so cool. En so, u moet vir my bless. Maar Jere, ek verstaan nie waar hulle aangaan nie, want het gaan oor my. We pray like that. And I can tell you, God looks at it sometimes and he's trying to figure out, what must I do? Why did I tell him to pray, Our Father? And that's about the support for one another that Christ wants from us. And then there's the evaluation where we need to measure our success. Let's move on. Ek raak weer passievol. Evaluation. Just the 72 returned with joy. Watch this. And said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Man is opgewonde, man. Hy het 'n paar demone uitgedryf. And Jesus replied, and I'm just seeing Jesus standing there. It's really cool. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome. Watch that. Overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I just want us to stop there. Jesus does a bit of expectation management with them. Jesus says, guys, you're getting excited about the wrong things. Don't get excited about the wrong things. Get excited about the right things. So it's important, if you can flight the scripture, let me just talk about expectation management. Now, yes, and just move on. And then another one. Yes, there. So, when we're going to come back from missions, we're going to do an evaluation. Wat doen julle, Karen, jaarliks of 6 maandeliks? Wat noem julle dit, die evaluasie? Ons noem het, ek het ook een, ek moet die KPA invul.
Elke 6 maande word ek en Tobias en Elmarie ons met 'n kaapje aanvul. Do we measure up to what we're saying? Ons gesit nie daar by die kantoor. De dag bid ons. Jou dag. Tobias, het jy al gebid vandag? Bid. Hoe lang het jy al gebid, Elmarie? Bid. En maak vir my koffie terwyl jylle bid. Ons doen ons niks. Ons lekker hier by die kantoor. No. There's some sets of rules that I'm being evaluated on every 6 months, but I want to tell every person that goes on missions, we're going to evaluate you. In other words, we're going to talk about, did we achieve our goals on this mission? If we achieved our goals, then we should have worked on the same purpose. And if we worked on the same purpose, we can talk to each other about the priorities. Now, why wasn't this a priority to you if this was our goal? You with me? That's what Jesus did. Jesus says, guys, I know you're excited about the demons and that the demons fleed, but you're getting fuzzy. Sit down, let me tell you why I must get excited. This is the reason why you must get excited. Your names are written in the book of life. That's important. Do you understand what it means? Let's talk about it. So after the training, after the sending, they come back to do an evaluation. It's elements of commissioning. And Tobias and Chris, where's Chris? Where's Chris? Tobias, Chris, and the guys, when we come back, we must have a meeting where we do an evaluation. Did everybody grow? And then the last bit, I love. Because Malawar. Luke chapter 10, verse 21 to 23. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Then he turned to his disciples. Watch this. And said privately, this happens in private. When we're going to come back, we're going to have these private moments. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you and did not hear it. When we come back after we've done the evaluation, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate the success of the missions. So Tobias, Chris, the gang, guys, we're going to come back. We're going to have a Brian. We're going to celebrate what God did in Germany, what God did in Rossenville. We're going to celebrate about it. Celebrating our success and breaking bread around the goodness to reveal the gospel to us in person. We bless one another for the victory of the cross that shapes us. We're excited. We rejoice with each other, and we're glad because that's how Jesus does it. And we testify, look, it was the first time that I prayed for somebody that was demon-possessed. You know, it was the first time that I prayed and I received a word of prophecy. We're going to be excited about that. Misschien vir jy extra stukkie vleisiekie, omdat jy dit gedoen het. Dis is bly jou oor, man. Eet is 'n lekker choppiekie. We're excited about you. Then we're going to break bread because you know what? In the past, I've made the mistake. We never came back and did that, but I see it in scripture now. After they've gone, they come to Jesus. And I like what Jesus does. Jesus is excited. He's excited because they went, but he's also excited for the fact that they came back. And they testified. And we're going to have a service here where we're going to allow everybody that was on missions to testify about the goodness of God, what God did in their hearts and what God did in each other's hearts. Because that's the right thing to do.